Welcome here to our time of prayer with Scripture. Thank you, God, for the honor of praying and leading in this special prayer. So we have the antiphon for the invitatory. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts, or come let us worship Christ, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. The Lord's is the earth in its fullness, the world and all its peoples. It is he who set it on the seas, on the waters, he made it firm. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. Who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things, who has not sworn so as to deceive his neighbor. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. He shall receive blessings from the Lord and reward from the God who saves him. Such are the men who seek him, seek the face of the God of Jacob. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. He shall receive blessings. I just said that. O gates, lift high your heads. Grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, the mighty, the valiant, the Lord, the valiant in war. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. O gates, lift high your heads, grow higher, ancient doors. Let him enter, the King of glory. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. Who is he, the King of glory? He, the Lord of armies. He is the King of glory. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship Christ the Lord, who for our sake endured temptation and suffering. Now we begin with a little song or a little hymn. Lord Jesus, once you spoke to men upon the mountain, in the plain. Oh, help us listen now as then, and wonder at your words again. We all have secret fears to face, our minds and motives to amend. We seek your truth, we need your grace, our living Lord and present friend. The gospel speaks and we receive your light, your love, your own command. Oh, help us live what we believe in daily work of heart and hand. Psalmody. This is God's message to the sons of Israel, the good news of peace proclaimed through Jesus Christ, Acts 10, 36. We'll use that as our antiphon for this Psalm 107, or actually it's not Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, tell his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Oh, sing to him, sing his praise, tell all his wonderful works. Be proud of his holy name. Let the hearts that seek the Lord rejoice. The apostles proclaimed to the nations the wonders which God wrought when he came among us. Consider the Lord in his strength. Constantly seek his face. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, the judgments he spoke. The apostles proclaimed to the nations the wonders which God wrought when he came among them. Consider the Lord and his strength. Constantly seek his face. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, the judgments he spoke. O children of Abraham, his servant, O sons of the Jacob, of Jacob he chose. He, the Lord, is our God. His judgments prevail in all the earth. The apostles proclaimed to the nations the wonders which God wrought when he came among us. He remembers his covenant forever, his promise for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it for Jacob as a law, for Israel as a covenant forever. He said, I am giving you a land, Cana, your appointed heritage. When they were few in number, a handful of strangers in the land, when they wandered from country to country and from kingdom and nation to another. He allotted no one to oppress them. He admonished kings on their account. Do not touch those I have anointed. Do no harm to any of my prophets. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts from God our Father, provide everything that we need. Take care of us and help us today. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Sing praise. The apostles proclaimed to the nations the wonders which God wrought when he came among us. The Lord did not abandon the good man who was sold into slavery, but freed him from the power of sinners. But he called down a famine on the land. He broke the staff that supported them. He had sent a man before them, Joseph sold as a slave. His feet were put in chains. His neck was bound with iron until what was said came to pass, until what he said came to pass. And the word of the Lord proved him true. Then the king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free, making him master of his house and ruler of all he possessed, to instruct his princes as he pleased and to teach his elders wisdom. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord did not abandon the good man who was sold into slavery, but freed him from the power of sinners. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord was true to his sacred promise. He led his people to freedom and joy. So Israel came into Egypt. Jacob lived in the country of Ham. He gave his people increase. He made them stronger than their foes, whose hearts he turned to hate his people and to deal deceitfully with his servants. The Lord was true to his sacred promise. He led his people to freedom and joy. Then he sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, the man he had chosen. Through them he showed his marvels and his wonders in the country of Ham. He sent darkness, and dark was made, but Egypt resisted his words. He turned the waters into blood and caused their fish to die. Their land was alive with frogs, even in the halls of their kings. He spoke, the dog fly came, and gnats covered the land. The Lord was true to his sacred promise. He led his people to freedom and joy. He sent hailstones in place of the rain and flashing fire in their land. He struck their vines and fig trees. He shattered the trees throughout their land. He spoke, the locusts came, young locusts, too many to be counted. They ate up every blade in the land. They ate up all the fruit of their fields. The Lord was true to his sacred promise. He led his people to freedom and joy. He struck all the firstborn in their land, the finest flower of their sons. He led Israel out with silver and gold. In his tribes were none left who fell behind. Egypt rejoiced when they left, for dread had fallen upon them. He spread a cloud as a screen and fire to give light in the darkness. The Lord was true to his sacred promise. He led his people to freedom and joy. When they asked for food, he sent quails. He filled them with bread from heaven. He pierced the rock to give them water. It gushed forth in the desert like a river. For he remembered his holy word, which he gave to Abraham, his servant. So he brought out his people with joy, his chosen ones with shouts of rejoicing. The Lord was true to his sacred promise. He led his people to freedom and joy, and he gave them the land of the nations. They took the fruit of other men's toil, that thus they might keep his precepts, that thus they might observe his laws. Abraham, Joseph, and Moses prefigured your plan, Almighty Father, to redeem mankind from deeper spiritual slavery, and to lead us into the land of promise. Through the death and resurrection of your only begotten Son, your church fulfills these promises. Grant us living water from the rock and bread from heaven, that we may survive our desert pilgrimage and thank you eternally for your kindness. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord was true to his sacred promise. He led his people to freedom and joy. Now the verse introducing the lesson from Scripture and tradition is simply, the man of God welcomes the light so that all may see that his deeds are true. A reading from the book of Exodus. Two segments, one from chapter 12 and one from chapter 13, put together. The Hebrews depart, the law of the Passover and the firstborn. The Israelites set out from Ramses for Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, not counting the children. A crowd of mixed ancestry also went up with them. Besides their livestock, their very numerous flocks and herds. Since the dough they had brought out of Egypt was not leavened, they baked it into unleavened loaves. They had been rushed out of Egypt and had no opportunity even to prepare food for the journey. The time the Israelites had stayed in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of 430 years, all the hosts of the Lord left the land of Egypt on this very date. This was a night of vigil for the Lord as he led them out of the land of Egypt, so that this same night all the Israelites must keep a vigil for the Lord throughout their generations. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "These are the regulations for the Passover. No foreigner may partake of it. However, any slave who has been bought for money may partake of it, provided you have first circumcised him. But no transient alien or hired servant may partake of it. It must be eaten in one and the same house. You may not take any of its flesh outside the house. You shall not break any of its bones. The whole community of Israel must keep this feast. If any aliens living among you wish to celebrate the Passover of the Lord, all the males among them must first be circumcised, and then they may join in its observance, just like the natives. But no man who is uncircumcised may partake of it. The law shall be the same for the resident alien as for the native. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land of the Canaanites, which he swore to you and your fathers he would give you, you shall dedicate to the Lord every son that opens the womb, and all the male firstlings of your animals shall belong to the Lord. Every firstborn of an ass you shall redeem with a sheep. If you do not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn son you must redeem. If your son should ask you later on, 'What does this mean?' you shall tell him, 'With a strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, that place of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in the land of Egypt, every firstborn of man and of beast. That is why I sacrificed to the Lord everything of the male sex that opens the womb, and why I redeem every firstborn of my sons. Let this then be a sign on your hand and as a pendant on your forehead. With a strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt.' The parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, because the law of the Lord prescribed that every firstborn male had to be consecrated to him. They offered to the Lord on his behalf a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, because the law of the Lord prescribed that every firstborn male had to be consecrated to him." The second reading can be from the Pastoral Constitution on the Church in the Modern World of the Second Vatican Council. The world of today reveals itself as at once powerful and weak, capable of achieving the best or the worst. There lies open before it the way to freedom or slavery, progress or regression, brotherhood or hatred. In addition, man is becoming aware that it is for himself to give the right direction to the forces that he has himself awakened, forces that can be his master or his servant. He therefore puts questions to himself. The tensions disturbing the world of today are in fact related to a more fundamental tension rooted in the human heart. In man himself, many elements are in conflict with each other. On one side, he has experience of his many limitations as a creature. On the other, he knows that there is no limit to his aspirations, and that he is called to a higher kind of life. Many things compete for his attention, but he is always compelled to make a choice among them, and to renounce some. What is more, in his weakness and sinfulness, he often does what he does not want to do, and fails to do what he would like to do. In consequence, he suffers from a conflict within himself, and this in turn gives rise to so many great tensions in society. Very many people, infected as they are with a materialistic way of life, cannot see this dramatic state of affairs in all its clarity, or at least are prevented from giving thought to it because of the unhappiness that they themselves experience. Many think that they can find peace in the different philosophies that are proposed. Some look for complete and genuine liberation for man, from man's efforts alone. They are convinced that the coming kingdom of man on earth will satisfy all the desires of his heart. There are those who despair of finding any meaning in life. They commend the bodies of those who deny all significance to human the boldness of those who deny all significance to human existence in itself, and seek to impose a total meaning on it only from within themselves. But in the face of the way in which the world is developing today, there is an ever-increasing number of people who are asking the fundamental questions, or are seeking them with keener awareness. What is man? What is the meaning of pain, of evil, of death, which still persist in spite of such great progress? What is the use of those successes achieved at such a cost? What can man contribute to society? What can he expect from society? What will come after this life on earth? The Church believes that Christ died and rose for all, and can give man light and strength through his Spirit to fulfill his highest calling. His is the only name under heaven to which men can be saved. So too, the Church believes that the center and goal of all human history is to be found in her Lord and Master. The Church also affirms that underlying all changes, there are many things that do not change. They have their ultimate foundation in Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? It is sin that gives death its sting. But thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is good to those who trust in him, to all who search for him. But thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may our observance of Lent help to renew us and prepare us to celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Let us pray for the Holy Father's monthly intentions, which this month are quite well chosen. Let us pray that broken families might discover the cure for their wounds through forgiveness, rediscovering each other's gifts, even in their differences. So many of us come from broken families or have broken families, and this is a time where the whole world, the entire Church, asks God to send his Spirit to have mercy and to heal these families. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let's round out our time with that Lectio Divina, with just a short reading, prayerful reading, from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the learning of the learned I will set aside. Where is the wise one? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made the wisdom of the world foolishness? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not come to know God through wisdom, it was through the will of God, it was the will of God through the foolishness of the proclamation to save those who have faith. For Jews demand signs and Greeks work for wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are called, Jews and Greeks alike, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the wisdom of God is stronger than human strength. Consider your own calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. Rather, God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise, and God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong, and God chose the lowly and despised of the world, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something, so that no human being might boast before God. It is due to him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, as well as righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that as it is written, whoever boasts should boast in the Lord. Now for the lectio, you read it twice, you read that again. And I've already prayed with this passage this morning, but the powerful thing about this type of prayer is simply that as we go and we learn the scriptures this way, God will touch us in our innermost subconscious minds, in our intellects, our wills, and there will be a part of it that stands out, or there will be a message that comes into your mind and makes perfect sense. Yes, this is what the scriptures are talking about. Or yes, this is how I can respond to the scriptures. So I often could explain this. We could talk and try to give like a homily on this or an instruction on this. But it matters not as much as being able to retell the story. So the story here is that Paul is the apostle, and he's speaking to his disciples about the message of the good news, that seed of faith that's been planted in them and has the power to change their lives. And he talks about a reversal. It's not the wise of the world who understand God's plan, who understand his character. In fact, the wise of the world are the ones that are rejecting him. The scribes, the theologians of the Jews are rejecting him. The wise ones among the Greeks, the philosophers, are just hung up on their quest, and they reject him. So Christ is a stumbling block, you know, for Jews, and the Greeks don't want him. It doesn't make sense to him. But yet, Christ becomes the wisdom of God and the power of God. And there's powerful statements in there. Paul promises that there's going to be the Beatitudes, the eschatological reversal. It's them who are going to bring to nothing the wise and powerful of the world, because Christ will reign in them. And you know, 2,000 years later, we have a church. And yes, it's wounded and very sinful, but it's all over the world. Followers of Christ all over the world. Whatever happens to the Pope, it's in the news. So already in this present age, you begin to see that eschatological reversal of the Beatitudes, that those who are comforted, that those who are meek will reign with Christ. And this is too what Paul is beautifully elucidating for his people, that they will gain spiritual power, that they will gain strength, and that there'll be this reversal. So you see how that works. Now we've spent this time reflecting on the Word of God. We'll just finish out soon. But yeah, I think for me the part here is the part about the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. So for me that has real impact, you know, the parable in Mark's Gospel. So many people aren't prepared to receive the good news. They're not free from the system of spiritual slavery that keeps us bound. And they harden their own hearts. So I think that was maybe the part that stood out to me, or just overall, this idea of the wisdom of God manifesting his plan throughout history for his people. All right, So that's kind of an overview. There's 4 steps to Lectio Divina. You read it once out loud or silently, and then you read it again, either out loud or silently. Usually people recommend once silently and once out loud, but there's different ways to do that. So this is the first 2 steps is read, and then after the second time you retell basically what happened in the story or what stood out to you about it, and then you respond. It's the third thing, like, how can I respond to this word from God? How can I respond to what I'm doing, sensing interiorly? What's going on? How can I speak to God? How can I have a conversation with God? That's the end of the respond, is the conversation with God. Yeah, and it can be just a 1-minute thing, or just a sentence, or just resting. And then that's the last step, is rest. If God has given you a word of consolation into your situation, speaking into your situation, just enjoy that and rest in that. If God has given you a challenge, tell God that it's challenging, that you feel unhappy, that what you feel, and ask God to give you rest, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So that's a way that Catholic saints have learned to pray over 2,000 years. It's very helpful. It's also a good way to learn scripture. If you're just going to take one passage a day and do that for like 10 or 15 minutes, that's a good way, I found, to also learn the content of scripture. Do that with a book or something, and it helps you to learn it. But anyway, this is the year of hope. We ask God to make us beacons of hope, and we pray the intercessions, and that'll be it for today. I know I did it a little different today, but I just felt that was the way it needed to be done. The Lord Jesus sanctified his people with his blood. Let us cry out to him. Lord, renew us in your grace. Christ, meek and humble of heart, clothe us with compassion, kindness, and humility. Make us want to be patient with everyone. Teach us to be true neighbors to all in trouble and distress, and so imitate you, the Good Samaritan. May the Blessed Virgin, your mother, pray for all who are vowed to a life of virginity, that they may deepen their dedication to you and to the Church. Especially, we want to offer this prayer for Henry, for him to find that door that will open for him and find the peace that only Christ can give, and find everything that he needs. We also pray for Julia, suffering in the hospital, and for those who are entrusted to our prayers on this day of Lent. Finally, we grant us the gift of your mercy. Forgive our sins and remit their punishment. All right, have a great rest of your day, everyone. We're gathering our prayers and praises into one. We pray our Father one more time. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Have a good rest of your day.